This morning I want to pick up from where we left off last week as a continuation of Mission Faith Giving. Last week I pretty much zeroed in on tithing and what it is, and now we go to the area of Mission Faith Giving and what is that. And Mission Faith Giving, this concept or principle of mission faith giving comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. And last week I read both of those scriptures and both those chapters to give the foundation of what mission faith giving is. It is a giving that is above our tithes and is designated primarily to support missionaries who have gone out of the congregation in full-time mission work. Tithing was for the local church and its functions and to meet the needs that are there. Mission faith giving is giving that goes above that and to support missionaries. In our home congregation where I'm part of, we have three families. One just left yesterday for Thailand, seven children. And they left and they're serving a two-year term in Thailand. We have two couples in Ghana, West Africa, that are serving there full-time with two different mission organizations. We also have a young man down in South Carolina in prison ministry, another man over in Thailand serving. And so through mission faith giving is how we support our missionaries. And we support them for what they need. And you know what's been a blessing is to hear the reports coming back and the testimonies from those missionaries on the field and just thanking the church over and over again for the support that is given to them as they're on the field. Mission faith giving is something that is given above the tithe. It's interesting to note that this concept of giving, mission faith giving, we taught as we were missionaries in Ghana. Last week I mentioned we lived in Ghana as missionaries all but 5 years. And was a teacher, developed a Bible Institute there, training nationals for church leadership called Crusades for Christ Bible Institute. And at the Institute is where we taught this whole concept, what I'm teaching you here, I taught there. And it was a bit of a struggle because they're a very poor country. 80% of the people are unemployed. How do I teach tithing and then plus giving above that to support missions? Because that is one of our goals in church planting. One of three goals we had in church planting, as we sent out a missionary, one goal was to a church that's self-governing, one that's self-propagating, and one that's self-supporting. That was our goal in church planting. And a part of that was this part of tithing, because we want those churches to send out other missionaries to other places of the country. I believe church planting is one of the most effective ways to evangelize. And so as we planted a pastor, we planted him, the first one, two, we planted in the village of Edesso and Bojawasi. And so as they were sent out there, they sent out cold. They go out and they start on the streets evangelizing. As people get saved, they birth a church. They begin to disciple those converts. And out of that group of converts, the pastor discerns a call of God on some of his converts, some of his people as he works with them. He discerns, and at one church we planted Edesso, and Pastor Stephen, he discerned the call of God on this church member called, his name was Frank. So he sent him to the Bible Institute, where we would train him, and then we'd send him out to another village and plant another church. That was the church planting concept that we had, and we endeavored to implement. And these concepts that I'm teaching you here is what we taught in that country while they're in Ghana. One of our staff, who was also a pastor, he planted a church. And so one of his church members, as he discerned the call of God, he spoke French very fluently. And so they were planning to send him to Benin. And so he sent him to the institute for training. After his training, the church sent him to Benin to support him in planting churches in Benin. The funds that come from mission faith giving can also be used to support mission organizations or mission projects. I know of a congregation where the mission faith giving was very, at one point, was quite a bit large sum of money. And they discerned a need in another organization, and so they sent money to help them. And so that is discerned among your mission board or the church leaders, whoever you have overseeing the funds for mission faith giving. They discern that, where the need is, and they can send. But primarily, mission faith giving is for supporting missionaries in a full-time way, because I believe God has called the church not only to nurture the children, its believers, but also to evangelize. Amen? That God has called the church not only to nurture, but to evangelize. God wants to take us beyond these four walls. And sometimes I think about it. When I was in Ghana planting churches, I'm thinking, wow, why don't we practice that here? One statistic that's given indicated that the average Christian in America gives less than 20 cents a week to foreign missions. Wow. 20 cents a week. Now, of course, that's not you here. But the average. Remember last week I said the average American Christian is only tithing 2.5%. Not even 10%. Dr. Oswald, who brought to light the biblical teaching of mission faith giving for missions, he was a pastor of the People's Church in Toronto, Canada, where he challenged his congregation to give $1 to missions for every dollar they spent on themselves. When I was growing up, teenager, I loved to play Pac-Man. You guys remember Pac-Man? I'm dating myself. You know, you could go into Pizza Hut and there was a Pac-Man machine, you shove quarters into it and play Pac-Man. You know, the little yellow guy going after the little dots, you know? This was cool. I shoved quarters into it. And so I was doing that, and next time I see a Pac-Man machine, shoving the quarters. And nowadays, you don't have to shove quarters. You have Game Boys and Xboxes and Y boxes, Z boxes. And, you know, we as humans are very boxy, you know? You live in a box, drive in a box, you give us in a box, you're buried in a box. And we put people in boxes spiritually, don't we? One day, the Holy Spirit began to convict me of what I was doing. I'm wasting my money. So God convicted me. He said, Ray, for every quarter you put in the Pac-Man machine, I want you to put 2 quarters into the offering. And I argued with him that a little bit, but I said, okay, I'll do that. So I made a commitment to God. Every quarter that goes into Pac-Man, 2 quarters go into the offering. You know what? My playing Pac-Man quit pretty quick. Because now it costs me 75 cents instead of a quarter. That was a losing endeavor. Mission faith giving is a way to develop a spirit of graceful giving. Last week I talked about developing a spirit of graceful giving. Mission faith giving is a way that we can develop that. 2 Corinthians 8 and 7 says, but just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you excel in the grace of giving. What is interesting, chapter 9, it says, every man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but God loves a cheerful giver. You know what God's heartbeat is? God's heartbeat goes like this. People, 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 people. God's heartbeat is people. It says in His Word, it's God's will that none perish, but all will come to know Him. God's heartbeat is not money, it's people. You know, when congregations have incorporated mission faith giving to the congregations, the general giving went up as well. I've seen this in Ghana, I've seen this in America. When we give to the heartbeat of God, God opens up our heart to give in other ways. As we're living there in Ghana, one of my staff members, which I mentioned earlier, his name was Felix. He planted a church in a nearby village. And as he was instituted this whole concept of mission faith giving, he noticed something. His general giving was $140 a month, and his mission faith giving was $70. Now, that is good for a village church. If you knew the surroundings he was working in, that is very good. But he challenges people to give to the heartbeat of God and to give to missions so we can send out people to tell the world about Jesus Christ. And as they challenged the congregation, the mission faith giving went up to $140. Guess what happened to the general giving? It went up to $280. It doubled as well. I don't understand all the logistics of that. God's math is different than our math. I just see that it works. There was a congregation that I shared this concept with them. And it was sometime later, and they began to incorporate mission faith giving to their church. It was sometime later, I met one of the pastors on the leadership team. And he said to me, he says, "Ray, I cannot believe what has happened to our general giving. I look at our bulletin, I see what's coming in for our tithes. I say, I can't believe what's happening." He said, "Our giving is higher than it ever has been. Even back when our congregation had big donors in our congregation, we didn't have near the giving like we do right now." That's God's math. When we give to the heartbeat of God, it opens up our heart to give in other ways. What is mission faith giving? Well, mission faith giving is giving to world evangelism. Rather than waiting to respond to individual appeals as they come along, believers ask the Lord how much they should give to missions over the next 6 months or a year. Then they commit to take to that total as a faith promise or faith giving. Mission faith giving thus makes giving to missions strategic rather than sporadic. I'm going to clarify that. Some call mission faith giving a faith promise or faith giving. Others call it mission faith pledge. Now, there's different words that are used, but it's the same concept. All of them involve faith. Because we hear from God, you need to have faith that He will give you the strength and sacrifice to meet the commitment you made to Him. It's not a pledge. A pledge is more horizontal. You know, a person makes a pledge for a building fund or a church project. And if the money doesn't come in, somebody will come maybe knocking at your door, or, "Hey, where's the money you pledged?" But in mission faith giving, nobody comes knocking at your door. It's something you do between you and the Lord. Nobody keeps track of it. It's between you and God. You follow the Lord's leading. Mission faith giving makes giving to missions strategic rather than sporadic. Strategic meaning that there's a system set up which allows a person in the congregation to give money each week that will go towards missions. Prayer and hearing from God precedes the giving. You know, many churches give sporadically to missions. It happens when a missionary shows up at church one Sunday morning or a Sunday night. And here comes the missionary and he shares his stories, and it's great to hear what God's doing and hear the miracles and hear what God's doing and wherever he's working. And the pastor says, "Look, we're going to pass the basket, we're going to take an offering." And what comes in but maybe some pocket change or a few dollars or something is put into the basket with no thought or prayer preceding the giving. And you give that to the missionary and off he goes. Leaves struggling to try to raise money to feed his family and wonder, does God really care? You know, we've been on the field and I meet many missionaries as we're on the field. And I hear their cries. They come back to furlough, and they travel thousands of miles raising funds so that when they go back on the field, they have money to support themselves, do the work of God. But when they come back on the field, they're exhausted and tired and near burnout. And when they burn out, they come back home determined never to go into missions again and never to give to missions again because they're burned out. A furlough that's meant to be rejuvenated and refreshed and filled up is spent exhausted, traveling the country, trying to raise money and trying to get support. I've seen missionaries live on the field. They live better in the field than they would have here in the States. But that's the exception, not the norm. the better support you give to a missionary, and I'm not talking just financially, but I'm talking also by prayer support, words of affirmation and encouragement. Stay connected with your missionaries. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes people come from the West, and they'll come into the culture, and they say, oh, why doesn't the missionary do this? Why doesn't he do this? Why doesn't he live this? Why does he spend his money this way or that way? The problem is, they never walked in the shoes of the missionary. One night, as we lived there in Accra, I went to visit a missionary. There was a man there from the States. He was a mission board director of the mission board from his church. And he was telling me all about Ghana. And I just sat and listened. And he knew a lot about Ghana. As he talked and talked, and I just listened to him. And on the way home, I said to my wife, I said, you know what that man's missing? He never lived here for an extended period of time on the field. It gives a different perspective when a missionary has been there a long time on the field. I trust that God is calling missionaries out of this congregation, that as a home congregation, they can be sent with great prayer support and great financial support as well. I just want to encourage you, support your missionaries that are on the field. It means a lot to them. If you've never been on the field, it's hard to identify with what sometimes they go through. And I could share stories of our experiences on the field. There were times I got by the airport, and I wanted to jump the next plane and come home. It's not easy. But when God has a call in your life, you'll do it. You'll make it. When I listen to missionary stories, and I hear their cries, I hear about their struggles and the challenges they have, but when they say, but I know God called me here, they're going to make it. I know it. That's foundational, I guess, to anything you do. Are you doing what God has called you to do? Even if it's driving truck, even if it's milking cows, are you doing what God has called you to do? And when you go to the field, make sure you know God has called you to that position. Number two, is there a scriptural basis for mission faith giving? Mission faith giving makes us channels of blessing. In his covenant with Abraham, God said that through Abraham's descendants, all peoples of the earth would be blessed. Genesis 12:3, mission faith giving is a way of handing on the blessing. Mission faith giving is more than one can afford. Remember last week we talked about the Macedonian church, 2 Corinthians 8-9. And the Bible says they gave out of their what? Who remembers from last week? Exactly. They gave not only out of their poverty, but their extreme poverty. The Macedonian church gave out of their extreme poverty. I'm not sure if any of us are in that condition. But I'm going to challenge you again. Like I said last week, don't give out of your abundance. We tend to do that. Give as God directs you to give. Mission faith giving reflects our personal commitments. The Corinthian church excelled in faith, speech, knowledge, complete sincerity, graceful giving of finances. Who should give to mission faith giving? Well, this is a great opportunity to involve children and youth. I believe everyone can participate in mission faith giving. Children and youth may have less money than adults, but it's crucial to train them in systematic giving and in faith living. You as a congregation, I share this concept with different churches, and each congregation will flesh it out differently. So I'm here simply to share a concept, and your leadership team here, and whoever God has appointed here to lead out, will help flesh that out. But I would encourage that envelopes are made available for children to be able to give towards missions. I encourage parents to motivate children to work to raise their own money to give to missions. Not, here, son, here's some money to put into mission faith giving. But teach them to work to earn it. When we lived in Ghana, thank you, brother. When we lived in Ghana, when we were taught this concept, we started to implement it there. And so the fellow missionary who introduced me to the concept, his name was Pastor Ong. And so as we began to apply it there, we lived in a compound that was 80 by 100. Very small, all concrete, no grass. Five boys. And there wasn't a lot to do. And so I had to figure out some way for them to earn money. And so what we did is that we wanted our boys to learn how to read. And so we said, okay, every 50 pages you read, we'll pay you 30 pesewa. Now, the currency there was CDs and pesewa. It's like dollars and cents. And so they read 50 pages, we pay them 30 pesewa. Now is a way for them to earn money to give to Mission Faith Giving. See, when we teach our children how to give to missions, you know, our desire is that our children become missionaries someday. We pray that. Now, if God chooses differently, that's okay. If God leads our children into being businessmen someday, if they learn the way to give to missions at a young age, that'll carry on into the older years of life. And when we become businessmen, God may bless them abundantly. They will give abundantly to missions. So I believe it's important that we start at a young age. What's the relationship between mission faith giving? Oh, there is a cup in here. All right. What's the relation between mission faith giving and paying tithes? Mission faith giving is over and above the tithe. Tithing is a clear scriptural principle dating back to the early pages of Genesis. Tithing recognizes God's ownership over me and all that I have. In practical terms, tithe money runs a local church and its ministries. Mission faith giving is a way to give for us to give specifically to reaching the unreached of the world. It tangibly expresses my desire that the whole world know the good news. How do I get funds to fulfill my mission faith giving? Well, I think one way is God may increase your income. One of my staff members, we were there in Ghana, God laid on his heart, he said, I want you to give your income to mission faith giving. Wow. Give all my income to mission faith giving? Okay, God, I'll do that. And he started doing that. Not knowing that that was for a period of time. Not knowing that during that period of time, I gave him a pay raise. He didn't know that was coming. But that pay raise was enough for him to go through with that commitment till the time was fulfilled. It's like, wow. What a challenge. God may decrease your expenses. There's a testimony here from a congregation member who shared their testimony. They said, we've been noticing little things in which God is reminding them that there it is. He is providing. For example, one of their children had a bad tooth for a while already and finally got worse. They knew the tooth needed to be pulled. They called the dentist and were really disappointed to not be able to give an appointment until next week. When you know it, over the weekend, the tooth fell out on its own. So again, they're reminded that he is still providing. God gives grace and strength to provide, to follow through with the commitment we have made. God may lead you to sacrifice. You know, I remember meeting a missionary. He lived over in Phnom Penh. That's a town east of Accra where we're living. And he said, you know, I have five churches that are supporting us here in Ghana. He said, I have to make sure that when I present a need to those congregations, that it's a real need. because he said people in those congregations will sacrifice their vacations to give to that need. Oh, wow. What a congregation. What a challenge. Do I commit to mission faith giving before I get it? Mission faith giving is a faith commitment. Commit only what you believe God wants to give through you. Then trust God to be faithful in providing for the commitment. Now, as we pray through and trying to hear from God, sometimes we want to think from our head rather than our heart. I believe God wants us to live, think from our heart. Isaiah 55, 5 and 6 says that God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are different than our thoughts, or higher than our thoughts. I like to interpret that means God's ways are different than our ways. His thoughts are different than our thoughts. You think about it. You ever think about how God thinks? You know, naturally, if we want to be great, we'd be a boss. That's a tendency. We climb that ladder, ranking higher, up to maybe supervisor, and then district manager, and then the boss. That makes me great. But Jesus says, if you want to be great in my kingdom, you what? You be a servant. You know, we think that if somebody does us wrong, we want to get them back and get even. But God says in Romans 12, he says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with what? With good. That's different than our natural thinking. When we are in debt, we say, I can't give the tithe. I can't afford it. You know what God says in Proverbs 3? He says, give all your first fruits, and what happens? Your barns will be filled and overflowing. Your needs will be met. See, God's thinking and God's ways are so contrary to our natural thinking and natural ways. Mission faith giving is that. We know the testimony from a congregation. It says, my wife and I prayed as to what amount we should give to mission faith giving. The Lord laid the exact amount on both of our hearts. In order to give that amount, there was going to be a need to sacrifice something. After we agreed on the amount, it was about 2 weeks later that the company where I work made some policy changes that provided extra funds to meet our monthly budget. These extra funds almost made up the total amount that my wife and I have committed to giving to the mission faith giving. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is faithful. How true Malachi 3:10 is. Test me, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven. That's a testimony from a church member where they practice mission faith giving. Here's another one. It said, it was interesting how God caused both my wife and I to include the same amount for a mission faith giving. I sensed $20 to $25. She sensed $25 to $30. We agreed on $25. Not long after we started, I was contacted again by a party who had contacted me previously, wanting to buy something that I really was not anxious to sell. He offered me what, in my opinion, is probably six times what it is worth. The excess over what I thought it was worth is way more than our commitment to mission faith giving. Praise the Lord. Just sharing some testimonies from people who began to trust God in mission faith giving. Mission faith involvement says that you believe in world evangelism. You believe that world evangelism is vital to accomplishing the mission of the church. A person may say, oh, but we have so much work here to do at home. And that is true. We do. But that tends to be cat theology. I don't know if you ever heard Luke Keffer's cat and dog theology. You ever heard that? Okay, some of you have heard. It tends to be cat theology. I had a man challenge me that. He said, we have so much work to be doing here at home. What are we doing in foreign missions? And I said, when was the last time you shared Jesus with someone? And he was speechless. Now, mission faith giving can be used to support missions locally. That's what your leaders discern. If there is a need locally for a mission or to support a missionary locally, mission faith giving funds can be used for that as well. Number two, the gospel can change lives. Mission Faith Giving Involvement says that the gospel can change lives. Those who give to help spread the gospel receive just as much credit in the sight of God as those who are on the front line. I know individuals who win more people into heaven by giving than I will ever directly. Now, one person is my father. God has used my father to give lots of money, thousands of dollars, and to support missions and missionaries. It was just about a month ago, I was talking with my dad. My dad is now 82. Mentally very sharp, physically he's wearing out. Loves to play chess. I love playing with him. And I was talking with Dad, and I spent most of my years, whether in Christian education, teaching, or on the mission field. But I said to my dad, I said, Dad, you will win more people into heaven indirectly than I will ever directly. I said, Dad, there's going to be many people in heaven shaking your hand and saying, Irvin, because you supported missionary Joe here, who led me to Jesus, is why I'm here. Those who give are just as important as those in the front line. I'll be very clear with that. But if God is calling you to go, go! God will provide. If you know God has called you, go! I could tell you story after story of how I've seen God meet our needs at just the right time. God might be slow, but He's always on time. If God is calling you, go. Mission Faith Giving. God will help pay the amount committed. That is why Mission Faith Giving involves faith, because you hear from God and you move forward believing that God will provide. If income drops off, then God wants to demonstrate His power through your life by supernaturally meeting your need. There's a man in our church. He lost his job. He wasn't sure how God's going to help him because he made a commitment to Mission Faith Giving. But he trusted God, and God has opened other doors for him to meet that commitment. And he was into another job where he now is self-employed. And the other week I called him to try to meet with him, do some work, and the guy is so busy. It's hard to meet with him because he's got so much work. Now, I think about the story of Elijah when he was at the Kerith Ravine. Remember, he was there by this brook, and God brought ravens to him to feed him by day. And the brook is where he got water to drink. But one day, the brook dried up. His resources dried up. What happened to Elijah? It was a motivator for him to go down to Zarephath. And guess what happened in Zarephath? God used Elijah to perform miracles in Zarephath. Remember when he came to Zarephath, he met the widow lady. He says, please, make me some bread so I can eat. And the widow said, I'm ready to make my last batch of dough, and then for me and my son, and then we're going to die. Because there's famine in the land. It was severe famine. She was on her last spit. But Elijah challenged her, make it for you and for me, and see what God does. And by faith, she made it for Elijah, her and her son. You know the story. The oil never ran out of her pots for 3.5 years of famine. They had 3.5 more years to go, and God constantly filled those water pots, the oil pots, with cooking oil. Provided her need for 3.5 years. That was a miracle of God. But it wouldn't have happened if the resources wouldn't have dried up at the Kerith River. When God dries up resources, brothers and sisters, God wants to do bigger and greater things in your life. Another great thing happens in Zarephath. Remember the widow's son got sick, fell ill, went into a coma. Elijah takes that child, he begins to pray, stretches himself on the child, and God restored life back into that child. Another miracle that God performed. Why? Because God motivated, moved Elijah from Kerith River to Zarephath to perform miracles in his life. How do I begin mission faith giving? One, is study the Scriptures. See what the Bible has to say. Not even just what I share, but other verses which speak about giving to God and His heartbeat. Total up your giving to world evangelism for the last year. Increase that total by a reasonable percentage. Divide the total by 52 or 26 or 12. This is weekly, bi-monthly, or monthly contributions, according to your individual pay schedule. Prayerfully again consider the amount you can faithfully purpose to give. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Do not be surprised at what God lays on your heart. Just be obedient. Now let me make it clear here. If you don't believe in mission faith giving, don't do it. If you're sitting here and saying, Ray, this won't work, then I will tell you, then don't practice it, because you're not acting in faith. Romans 14:23 says, everything that does not come from faith is sin. So if you don't believe this will work for you, I encourage you, don't do it. But if God is speaking to you, I encourage you to do it. Mission faith giving is optional. Now that verse I quoted is out of Romans 12:14. And it was during the time when the church at Rome, I'm not sure if it was Calvary's Cross, Mennonite Fellowship, or who was there at Rome, but that church there was, they were squabbling. There was issues. Here was one guy saying you shouldn't eat this kind of meat. Another guy said you should only eat vegetables. Another guy said you should observe this day as a special day. Another guy says, no, you shouldn't. And became a disagreement. And Paul says, wait a minute. He says, if a man believes he shouldn't eat meat, fine. If a man believes he should observe this day as a special day, fine. Whatever you do, do it. If you believe, you know God's called you to do it. Do it by faith. He said, if you don't, it is sin. That's the context it comes from. Mission faith giving is optional. Perhaps you're not ready for it, and that's okay. When this concept was introduced to one of the churches in Ghana, only 4 people started practicing it. The pastor, his wife, and a couple other people. Today, over 80% of the people are practicing mission faith giving in that congregation. My encouragement to the leadership team here is there'll be people in this congregation who won't embrace this, and that's okay. You're not inferior to someone who does. Please understand me. But I encourage leaderships to allow people who sense God leading them to give in this way to do it and see what God does and hear what God does in their lives. Why don't we be very clear on that point? This is between you and the Lord. It's not a salvation issue. I want to share with you a concept I believe is biblical, but how God wants to pour out and reveal Himself in new ways, in deeper ways in your life. And the process is be encouragement to missionaries. If in your marriage the one spouse is ready to do this, but the other is not, I'd say wait. As husband and wife, do your giving together. Be united in that. Fill out a mission faith card indicating your faith commitment. Now, the cards that we hand out, your leadership team is going to process this a bit further, and in their way and time, they will tell you a bit more what they're going to do with how they'll implement this. How do I give my mission faith giving? Well, I encourage you to give regularly because missionaries have needs regularly. This is a reason for using an envelope system that can be channeling your funds by mission faith giving. And again, you'll hear more about that through your leadership team, how they want to implement receiving the mission faith giving funds. The other one, 9, is this a pledge and will I be notified of my progress? Again, this is a commitment between you and God. Nobody tracks your income and what you committed to. Number 10, how long does my mission faith giving commitment last? Well, generally mission faith giving commitments are made once a year during a missions conference or convention. The weekly or monthly or annual commitments extend for 1 year from that time. They can also be made on a 6-month commitment. Usually congregations that worked with commit to about 6 months period of time, and then there's a renewing of that commitment. And what I encourage leaders to do is the Sunday before you renew the commitment is to give a message, a challenge on missions and the need of missions and the urgency of missions. There are times, even myself, we practice mission faith giving. My wife and I do. Our children do. And there's times I look at what we're giving and I become tempted. I think, oh, wow, I could use that money for something else. And I'm tempted. I remember one time I told my wife, I said, I think we're going to bring our commitment down this next time. And the Sunday before we took the commitments, the pastor shared a challenging message. And he said, you know, this next 6 months, my wife and I are going to significantly increase our mission faith giving. And I was challenged by that. And I said, honey, I think let's stay with what we've been committed to. You know what's interesting? I didn't realize I'm going to get a tax refund. God takes care. God takes care when we commit to Him. Number 11. Why do I have to sign my name if this is a commitment that I'm making to God? Signing your name is optional. However, indicating name and amount allows you the opportunity to express your faith and commitment. This is a way of saying to God, this is me, Lord, count me in. By signing, it helps to add a little more seriousness and sincerity to your commitment. Signing commitment cards is also a way to get envelopes to you as well. And again, that will come later on in the future. What is the advantage of mission faith giving? Well, one major advantage to giving to missions on a per week or per monthly basis is that you can give far more to missions that way than you can by giving one or two sacrificial gifts per year. Mission faith giving enables you to give missions to missions in amounts that reflect what you'd like to do. It enables you to reach out to the unreached on a regular basis rather than just one or two special occasions during the year. Mission faith giving allows us to be intentional in our giving. It's a deliberate way of supporting missionaries rather than just sporadically. I had a missionary friend in Ghana who was from Singapore. His church was 900 people. Their monthly mission faith giving was $75,000 per month that they were sending out missionaries all over the world. His brother-in-law, named Rick Seward, and he was pastor of a church, 6,000-plus members, called Victory Family Center in Singapore, one of the largest churches in Singapore. Their monthly mission faith giving was $3 million. And they were sending missionaries all over the world. We were in Ghana. We saw some of their churches that they had planted there. Is mission faith giving the only way I can participate in giving to missions? Well, not everyone chooses to give weekly or monthly through mission faith giving. Local churches usually offer other offering opportunities for them throughout the year. Those participating in faith promise giving may choose to give additional offerings at these times in response to the Lord's direction. You know, sometimes pastors are a bit apprehensive to embrace mission faith giving in their congregation. I know my friend challenged a pastor about this concept, and he said it won't work. He said, my people are going to give to the general giving rather than giving to mission faith giving. They'll instead say, okay, I'll give it to mission faith giving rather than give it to tithes. But he challenged them. He said, no, it won't. One day the pastor called and says, okay, come and teach us what this is. And he taught the congregation what mission faith giving was. And the pastor called back and said, I'm surprised. I'm amazed what God is doing in our congregation. You know, as I mentioned, this giving, it involves faith. I'm going to share some faith stories with you in closing. The mission we served with in Africa was called Crusades for Christ International. And it was started back in 1996 by the youth group from our church. Our assistant pastor's name was Robert, and he took the youth to a inner-city Chicago church to do a mission project. And he met a man there who was a former Ghanaian named Tony Bianchi. As youth were there working, Tony said, Robert, God's telling me we're going to take your youth to Africa. Robert said, yeah, right, Tony. Well, let's see. Let's pray about it. No. He said, God told me we're going to take your youth group, this youth group here, we're going to take them to Africa. Robert said, well, we'll see. Let's pray about it. Tony said, God told me. Well, I get a little shaky around those people too. So Robert began to pray about it. He took it to the mission board. The mission board leader said, well, if God provides the funds, let's do it. They had 35 people going. They took it to the leadership team. And the leadership team said, Africa, Ghana, where is that? Where does that place exist? You mean you want to take our youth group to Ghana, Africa on a mission trip? You got to be kidding. Big question, where are you going to get the money to do that? And he faced a lot of opposition from parents, but most of it from the other leadership team members. But he said, well, let's trust God. If God provides the finances, can we do it? Leadership team said, yes, you can, but $70,000, yeah. Well, Robert moved forward, and he started working. $70,000 to send a youth group to Africa. That's unheard of. And with all the opposition, what are you doing? You're wasting money. We can use this money to do this and do that. Now, I wonder, we can pay parking lots and change drapery and all that. Not a problem. When it comes to missions, there's a problem. I don't understand that one. One day, a businessman calls. He said, Robert, I heard you're going to Africa with the youth group. He said, yes, I am. Now, this man didn't attend our church. He came there occasionally. Some of the young people worked for him. But he said, I want to pay for half of that trip. I said, what? He said, now, do you know how much it's going to cost? He said, I know. But I'm going to pay for half of that trip. Robert put the phone down and he cried. When that happened, did people get on the bandwagon? They sure did. People got alive. All of a sudden, attitude changed, spirit changed, and money came together. And he sent a youth group to Africa, Ghana, 1996, and God worked. They saw miracles, supernatural miracles happen. And they planted churches. And churches, souls were saved, churches were planted by that youth group. And that's why we went over later on. By the time we were sent in, there was 14 churches planted. And that was by youth groups and by mission teams coming in. So we were asked to go in to establish, to train the pastors and to establish the mission. That's faith, brothers and sisters. That's God. That's not man. That's God. And God wants to do that same thing in our lives today. He wants to work supernaturally in our lives. One more story in closing. You see pictured here, it's a church in a school building. This is Pastor Felix. He's a right-hand man there in Africa. God bless us with a great guy. Great man of integrity. If you're a foreign missionary working in a foreign land, to have a man like this caliber, you're blessed. And we were blessed to have this man. He planted this church in a village called Boy. Started out in an uncompleted house. If you're there in Ghana, there's a lot of uncompleted houses there. Because people build, and when they run out of money, they go save up money and come back and build. So you have a lot of uncompleted houses. So he was meeting an uncompleted house. But he was able to acquire two plots of ground, and his vision was to build a school and a church in that village. Use the building for church and for school. And so money was raised, money came in, to bring the church to this level. He needed $3,000 to get a roof on this building right here so he could begin to worship. And the landlord where he was meeting was putting pressure on him to get out because he wanted to finish his house. And he's meeting here with his congregation. A missionary came. In fact, that's him pictured there. That was Dave Meyer. He came and took pictures, went back home, showed pictures to his congregation. Just said, this is what I was doing, this is what I saw. That morning there was a man sitting in the congregation. And by the way, before this happened, we were praying, God, we need $3,000 to finish this project. As this picture was shared in the congregation, there was a man sitting in the congregation. God spoke to him and said, I want you to sell your car and give that money towards this project. And he started arguing with God. God, you want me to do this? I want you to do this. He said, okay, God, I'm going to test you out. If this is really you, I'm going to put my car up for sale for one day. If it sells, I'll give that money. If it doesn't, I won't. Nice test. So he put up for sale. Guess what? It sold for $3,000. He brought that money into Dave and told him the story. So this is what happened. Dave forwarded me the message, and we rejoiced because that was exactly what we needed to finish out that project, because somebody listened to God's voice here in America. I encourage you, when God speaks, listen. When God speaks, listen. When God impresses on you an amount to give, give it. You can look at your mission giving of the last year and discern how it should be done. If you want to up it a little bit, that's fine. That's the way to do it. Men, God speaks to our wives in this process. It's not just men. God speaks to them. Hear what God's telling them as well. I shared last week how when we sense a need between my wife and I, we pray if the amount is different, we cut it in half, come between. Somebody after the message last week said, what if you just add the two totals together? Wow. That's a great challenge. We'll see what God has. I'm not saying I won't do that. That was a new concept. That was a new thinking for me. But pray. Lay it before God and watch God do great things in you and through you and develop a testimony for life. When we share a testimony from life, it goes to the heart of people. When you share when we share from our head, it stops at the head. When you share a message from life, it goes to the heart. And that's where you want to go to. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, for being here. We just surrender this morning's service to you, Lord, that you take it, you use it. You multiply it 100-fold, Lord. God, you know, there are so many people who are lost and dying that need to hear you. God, I pray that life, Mennonite Fellowship, would be a church that is a sending church, that's sending out missionaries all over the world. God, that you would bless this congregation. You would expand their territories. You will go with them. Keep them from evil. Keep them from pain. But expand their territories. Father, we thank you for what you have done, what you're going to do. Lord, sometimes we need to ask for faith because we're so weak. God, give us even the faith to trust you when you speak that you will take care of us. Thank you, Lord. In thy name we pray. Amen.